everyone for joining us, and we'll have to say goodbye to everyone and
see you next time.
Yeah, bye for now.
Salish peoples, find us online at cgsf.ca, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Hello, 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 and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And wow, talk about timing. The second I finished my sentence, the little Zoom connecting to audio connected up for Sebastian there. How are you doing? It's been lovely weather almost nationwide recently. I say that, big caveat. An incredible amount of places on fire. Looking pretty grim for many communities out there. If you're in one of these areas, please be safe. Actually, don't be stupid. Is I think the prevalent advice right now. I don't know if you've seen any of the interviews from the mayor of Halifax.
Mm-hmm. No, I have not.
It's not good because outside of Halifax is on fire and is very serious. But it's also hilarious that he has been just calling people who have been using propane to start like backyard fires, causing the fire department that's already stretched super thin in Nova Scotia to have to divert their already far too limited resources. And he said, he's been like, don't be stupid. This is not the time for fires. And I think even in Ontario, there's been some fires. And of course, Alberta is suffering through quite a lot of fires right now as well. It's all going on. Yeah, don't be stupid with fire. I think that seems to be the key takeaway.
I mean, it's quite temperate here right now. We had a real Canada moment where last week it was 36 degrees on Thursday, I think. And currently I am wearing a hoodie because it is, I think, 17 degrees here.
I think it's a bit warmer. It's a bit warmer where I am, but there is some cloud cover. And I'm wearing this. I mean, we're on radio. No one can see me, but you can see me. I'm wearing this like nice orange knitted cardigan thing, which is delightful. It has nice white palm.
It's quite tropical looking.
It's very tropical. I love it. It is very of the season is excellent. Sorry, give me. Yeah, so I'll deal with that in just a few minutes. All right.
There ducks?
No. There was.
I had a squirrel problem earlier. Oh my god, it's still there. A squirrel put a whole sandwich on my windowsill,
like an entire sandwich.
Yeah, and just started like scratching at the window. I think he was trying to give it to me or something. And there's still a half-eaten squirrel sandwich on my windowsill. I'm not on the first floor, by the way, so I don't know how he hauled that thing up here. There's a squirrel who visits me every so often, and today he brought me a sandwich, which on the one hand, I think it's sort of like when a cat brings you a dead mouse and you're supposed to go like, oh, thank you, because you don't want to discourage them. They're doing their cat behavior. They believe themselves to be doing a good thing.
Yeah, they're gifting you terrorized and murdered small animal. Absolutely.
Exactly. So, I kind of wanted to thank the squirrel, but instead I said, get out of here, and started doing the get off my lawn routine. Oh, and it just looked at me like, how dare you? So I think I may have offended. I think that sandwich was for me. Unfortunately, I'm gluten intolerant, and it has squirrel germs on it. So
just for our listeners, we do not recommend eating offerings from wild or domestic animals like that.
Gluten intolerance or no.
Regardless of your tolerance for wheat, it's a strongly advised no on eating, squirrel offered sandwiches.
I saw a groundhog out back the other day, and I smelled a skunk the other day, and out by the garbage bins, there's a small family of raccoons. This is mammal territory.
Yeah. You're doing really well. You're going to be, Okay, well, let's move on. We are a gay news show, and we're 4 minutes in, and we haven't discussed a single gay thing. Although maybe being offered sandwiches by a squirrel is particularly gay. I don't know. I don't speak squirrel, so I can't.
It could be. I don't know. It could be a thing.
confirm or deny. Well, I wanted to start off with here we go. Oh, there was an Ipsos survey. You know how much we love surveys. At Canqueer. We do love a nice big survey. Now, let me tell you about the size and breadth and depth of this this lovely survey. Let me find the right one. So it's an Ipsos, which is a large international surveying company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I'm downloading the actual survey. I thought I was just opening a link to the news article about it. It's like, this is more detail than I was expecting. I'm trying to find how many people they actually surveyed. I believe it was about 20,000 across multiple countries. Yeah, so it was Brazil, Peru, I think the United States, and we'll get into it just here. Oh, wow. So there was 30 countries: Brazil, Spain, Netherlands, Britain, New Zealand, Australia, Colombia, Switzerland, Canada, France, and so I'm not going to read all 30 names. We'll be here all week. And they essentially asked them to see all these people in all these countries, you know, how do you identify? Canada was 4% lesbian or gay, and then 4% bisexual, 1% pan, and 1% asexual. And that was about consistent. So that brings us up to be about 10% LGBTQ as a country. The national average, like the international average, was 9%. So they reckon about 9% of people worldwide identify as not straight, based on this tens of thousands survey in multiple countries all over the place. I mean, 1 in 10, that sounds about right. I don't know if maybe this isn't shocking news, but it's always nice to see large studies kind of reinforcing what we thought may be the case.
I mean, I'm very curious about their data gathering methods, though, because there have been previous surveys on the same topic that actually excluded some of these surveys based on the way that they asked questions. It was open-ended in a way that just sort of like I don't know, the I mean, you have the what was that thing, the 7-point, not the gingerbread man, the other one, the Kinsey scale. Where Kinsey had, I think, 7 or 8 different dimensions that you could place yourself upon. Identity was only one of them. One of them was desire. One of them was behavior. One of them was romantic interactions. And a lot of the surveys that focus on that ended up actually putting it at more like 3.5%. And a lot of it comes down to what do you identify as versus what goes through your head versus what have you done in the past. I don't know. It's very interesting. These numbers are way off from what a lot of those other surveys say, which really kind of just makes me wonder either about, you know, the progress of time, or whether or not the data gathering methods are that dramatically different. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It'd be good to go into the details and see what this looks like relative to other similar surveys. I mean, that's how science is done, right?
Yeah. Well, for me, the numbers sound about right. They
1 in 10?
So, yeah, it's about consistent with the Canadian census. It's about consistent with the British census that came out a little while ago as well.
British census was the 3.5%.
Well, you know, but when you include the every make and shake version of not straight and cisgendered, it does flesh out a bit more. They also found that Gen Zs were twice as likely as millennials to be gay or what have you, queer in some way, and 4 times more likely than Gen X and boomers. Yeah, but I think that's just the slow march of time. Every generation that follows is, you know, gayer than the one before. And the one before sort of straightifies. I'm not sure if that's the right. You know, in your like teens to mid 20s, people are far more sexually fluid than they are in their like 50s and 60s. You know, things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like your sexuality sort of settles down a little bit by the time you hit 30.
Yeah, there was it wasn't Alfred Kinsey, it was Masters and Johnson. After a while, they stopped studying human sexuality among people under the age of 25 because they found that their sexual identity was a little bit more fluid. They were a little bit more experimental. They were sort of exploring what their feelings were versus what things were like in reality. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, you fantasize about or they seem very appealing and then you do it and you go like, oh no, that's not for me after all. That may have just been something that should have stayed in my head. And then some people, maybe what they'll do is, you know, the way they see themselves or what they want to do with their lives is pretty consistent all the way through, but the label they apply to that might evolve over time. But either way, what they found was that the sexual identity of adults about 25 and up is, a little bit different from people under the age of 25 and more stable. So if you ask somebody at 26, what do you identify as? It'll be probably be the same thing at 36, 46, 56. Whereas under 25, you can ask somebody every 2 years. And that's not to say that it's going to be different every time you know, I'm a daisy today. I'm a gay man. Now I'm a porpoise. Like it's not going to be that dramatic, but there's a little bit more wiggle room for the under 25 crowd. So some of this could just be an artifact of, time and age and normal human development. You know, to assume that if only like 1% of boomers identify as lesbian, that doesn't mean that that's actually only 1% of them are lesbian. It could be the identity. It could be the space to explore that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty wide and variable, you know.
One of the other findings they had is globally on average, well, they say globally, these 30 countries, there are 182 of them. So, you know, take from that what you will. But one in two adults have a relative friend or colleague who is gay or lesbian. And then one in four who is bisexual. When we look at Canada on that front, the visibility in Canada, 52% of people know someone who is gay, lesbian, or just, you know, good old homosexual. And then about a third know somebody who is bi. About 20% know someone, one in five people know someone who is trans. You know, and I bring this up because it humanizes it. I think it is that way of demystifying, you know, queer folks. If you know someone, like, oh, Uncle Travis is a trans asexual. Of course, you know, that's what we know. We compare that to, you know, Poland, and only one in three people know somebody who is gay. A bit more people know someone gay in Britain, and I'm trying to find the United States. More people identified as knowing someone who is gay in the States compared to Canada. So, more you know. Anyway, it was an interesting study. You know how much we love an interesting study here on Can Queer. Now, I got contacted by one of our longtime listeners, and I want to acknowledge and thank them for reaching out about Anthony Bass, Bass, B-A-S-S. I think it's Bass. Are you familiar with Anthony and the Blue Jays?
I've heard of this story. I know that the story is that he shared a video that has been deemed homophobic. I have been trying to find out exactly what video that is and if I could watch it myself and make up my own opinion about how bad it is. And I haven't been able to find it. I mean, partly it was taken down and he disassociated himself from it. It's probably still out there, but it's just a matter of knowing exactly which one. Well, tell the whole story. Yeah, I think I put the cart before the horse
was,
there.
The video was shared with me, and I thank them for getting that over to us. Essentially, this Blue Jays player, many people here probably, you know, may well know who that is. Anthony Bass, I forget exactly how to pronounce his last name, shared a video from a Christian preacher based out of Florida, effectively railing against Target and the pride flagged products, really quoting a bunch of scripture about how you shouldn't be supporting the work of the devil and so on and so forth. Like very much of the vein of the anti-gay protests and boycotts that have permeated a whole bunch of different pride initiatives across the States. The difference was, I think, with this one compared to previous occasions where professional sports people have said something or shared something particularly deemed to be homophobic, was the reaction of the Blue Jays. Now, I've been thinking about this all week. Mm-hmm. Now, Anthony came out almost immediately the next day, apologized, said that he's going to use the resources of the Blue Jays which is a baseball team for those who don't sports. You know, use the resources of the baseball team to kind of learn more about why this is an issue and how sharing this could impact the fans and their understanding of this being an accessible sport, etc., etc. Didn't take any questions from media and sort of stay stum the next day. The Blue Jays themselves said that they obviously do some great Pride programming. They've been a longtime partner with Pride Toronto. But the question was, has this been enough? You know, previously, players who made homophobic comments or shared homophobic comments were given quite severe consequences. But this one just seems a not even a slap on the wrist for it. Now, it wasn't completely consequence-free when Anthony went onto the pitch like a day or two later, was very much booed by the collective crowd. You know what I mean? Like people, when your fan base is booing you, you need to, you know, that's a that's not a very good position to be in as a professional sportsman, to have your fans actively booing you as you enter the field.
Well, they're not really your fans anymore if they're booing.
Yeah, you've got a bit of work to do to kind of re-ingratiate yourself.
It's pro wrestling, because in pro wrestling, booing is cheering.
This is true, but it's not. It's baseball.
But it's not pro wrestling. It's baseball, yes. It's really strange. The way you described the outcome just to me feels like HR stepped in and said, here's a script. Read this.
I'm going to stop you there because I saw his video coming in and speaking out. I believe Anthony's from Michigan originally. I don't think he's Canadian.
Okay.
And it is devoutly Christian, essentially reposted what is a Christian preacher's video on Instagram, even though the video itself was definitely can be perceived as homophobic. I got the sense that his statement was authentic. You know, I very much got the sense from the player that, you know, it was done almost immediately. Like, and I think that's part of what the Blue Jays were saying. Like, look, this isn't like other times. You know, Anthony got it, understood how, you know, foot in mouth problem here, and is going to try and learn and do better. But I had the absolute pleasure of being on a plane next to a coach for a top-tier sports team in Canada for about 4 hours a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And they'd forgotten their headphones, so they were a captive audience for me for 4 hours. I'm not going to say who, because I don't want to throw this team or this band, these folks under the bus. But I was, you know, professional level, top level, similar kind of league to the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. And I was asking, how do you navigate, as somebody responsible for a team of people, a team of men in this case, how do you navigate balancing that right to free speech, to express yourselves, you know, on spaces like social media platforms, whilst also having them be representatives of the team, of their colleagues, of their teammates, of the institution, of the city of Toronto, in the case of the Blue Jays? You know, how do you make that balance work?
How do you do image management without image over management?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we talked for a while about it, and I think that me and you, can queer, you know, that have a role to play here. There is definitely a sense from some folks in the queer community that the Blue Jays have not done enough, that this should have been more clearly and decisively reprimanded. And I suspect that there are those who are like, you know, this is, you know, someone who is American, may not be aware of the cultural, the way that the Toronto culture works in terms of, you know, LGBTQ acceptance and what is considered to be acceptable, you know, dialogue on things like targeting pride displays at Target. And also that people should be able to express themselves in a way that, you know, they're not feeling micromanaged.
Yeah.
And My takeaway was I think that they what they did was probably enough. I think we need to sort of collectively lower the temperature here. Is it great that he shared this video? Were there some young baseball fans who were maybe disappointed to see that and felt like maybe this player doesn't believe in their ability to be openly gay with a Target made t-shirt? Maybe. But is it an attack on all queer people in Toronto? I don't think so.
You know what I mean? I don't think so either, yeah. And it's interesting because for both, Target, we'll stick with Target because that's the topic of conversation right now. Scrolling through the events of the past week, it is very easy to find opinion pieces from within the community, from other LGBTQ people in Canada and in the U.S. who agree in the Target boycott, but not for the reason you think. It's just things like reject the pink dollar. If you really want to get a pride shirt, go to a queer-owned business, go to a small business, go to a local business. I would never get a pride shirt at Target, but that's because you and I both know a gentleman who owns a queer goods store.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
has pride gear. Like, why would I go to Target when I could go support him, you know?
Yeah,
so it's really strange because the boycott, there are some people within the community who are also saying, like, that's what we've been saying for 10 years. We don't agree with the tone. We don't like the direction the new one's going in. It's for the wrong reasons. But, I mean, we've been saying for years you shouldn't be doing this anyway. Go independent. And it's really such a strange thing of, like, how sometimes situations like this make strange bedfellows. I don't know. The whole dialogue has gotten very strange and complicated over the recent times, just because I have seen things from the hard right where people on the hard left have been saying something similar for quite some time, just with a very different motivation. Should we be boycotting Bud Light? Well, you have a lot of people saying, like, Bud Light's not a great beer anyway, so why are we, there's no boycott because why are we buying it in the first place?
Yeah.
Jokes aside, though, people saying, like, why would you do that when there are other small Canadian microbreweries that you could support for other reasons, financially supporting Canadian businesses, supporting local business, supporting businesses with a long history of not optics-oriented marketing, but people who actually have put in the footwork for the community for quite some time. Why would you do that? So, I mean, it's really, I don't know, not to say that this guy's off the hook, because I couldn't find the video, but I'm trusting you that it was pretty horrible. If he said something I would agree with, but from motivations that I would not agree with, I mean, that is pretty telling, and that is something that is worthy of discussion. But I don't know, it is so strange, the dialogue, being Pride season.
Mm-hmm.
This is an old topic, but with a completely new spin, because people have been talking about this for quite some time.
There is some interesting work on that. It's worth noting that some right-wing media folks have actually articulated that one of the reasons why they do these boycotts, ironically, they're now also boycotting Chick-fil-A. Which, oh, for our audience sake, because Chick-fil-A rolled out some diversity, equity, and inclusion company-wide initiatives, mm-hmm. and they've now accused Chick-fil-A of being woke. Chick-fil-A, of course, a chicken restaurant. You know, they make chicken sandwiches.
Yeah,
but the majority owner of Chick-fil-A is a devout Christian. They're closed on Sundays.
And devout Mormon,
and they have a track record of funding organizations that have historically opposed measures against conversion therapy and stuff. Like, they've put money in places that are not very pro-gay. So mm-hmm. the gay community has always been like, you can keep Chick-fil-A, and now the heart of right people are now also targeting Chick-fil-A. I don't know who's left eating Chick-fil-A at this point.
Well, that's the interesting thing, though, because they're still in business and they're still pulling profit.
Yeah.
Boycotts are not as effective as people crack them up to be.
I want to read this list to you. This is the organizations being boycotted for Pride, you know, Pride, and just engaging with Pride. Build-A-Bear, Target, Maybelline, Hershey Chocolate, The North Face, Lego, Tampax, Starbucks, Nikes, Coca-Cola, Burger King, McDonald's, Cadbury's Cream Egg, Adidas, Hallmark, Toy Story, Doritos, the Co-op, Britney Spears herself, PetSmart, Walgreens, the Disney Channel, PayPal, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, Firefox, Home Depot, IKEA, Walmart, and Ford. So they have all had boycotts issued against them. Now, if anyone wants to do grocery shopping, I don't know how they're going to manage it with these boycotts, you know, in place. But the other thing I wanted to mention, there was a great study done by, let me see if I can find it. I think it's Media Monitor. And what they do is they measure the media exposure on different things. And they looked at the period of time going from May 23rd to May 30th. And they found that Fox News spent about 132 minutes, so 2 hours and 12 minutes, covering the target backlash, the topic we're talking about now. And yet they'd spent about 22 seconds covering the 451 clergy abuse of children report by the Illinois Attorney General's office. So I think we mentioned that in passing as well. We probably spent about a similar amount of time on it. That in Illinois, there's a big report from the Attorney General's office that found 451 members of the Illinois Catholic Church have been accused of abusing over 2,000 children. Definitely over 2,000 children in the state of Illinois over the past 70 years. And, of course, that's just Illinois. We've been talking about these abuses in Ireland and in Canada and as these reports come up every so often. But I think the point here is this, you know, let's boycott XYZ is now so watered down. It's, you know, it's like a glass of lemonade, which is water near a lemon. You know, there's no depth or substance to it. Mm-hmm. And in reality, it seems to be a sort of fake backlash. And the reason why I bring this up is there was another study that came out. Let me see if I can find my note on that one as well. That found that a record number of people actually support LGBTQ folks in the community. So GLAAD, the Gays and Lesbians Against Defamation organization, did another accelerating acceptance study where they surveyed a whole bunch of Americans, and they found about 84% supported equal rights in the gay community. 70% said that the company should publicly support them. So what I see here is the actual real people of America, you know, the Joe Schmoes on the street, either are like, yeah, okay, whatever, you're gay, that's cool, or just beyond ambivalent. You know, the number of people following through in a boycott and following through, you know, it's just there's almost a I hate to use the word hysteria because it's not a good word, but there is a false panic around. Yeah. You know, queerness and corporate entities that doesn't reflect what most people genuinely think. Most people are just frankly not bothered.
I mean, this is one of those things that came out when reporters actually back when Vice did a lot more boots on the ground, sort of investigative, sort of gonzo style journalism. I do remember there's a few reports that came out of Iran and Iraq where they were talking about how the reputation that both of those countries have in terms of ultra conservatism is just not merited, because the vast majority of people, just like the vast majority of people everywhere around the world, they're really just more focused on going to work on time, paying their bills, getting food on the table, taking care of their kids, hobbies. And it really is just a few extreme people on the fringes who are giving everything the bad reputation that it has. Now, unfortunately, if those people legally can carry guns and are legally in power, then, you know, you can get sort of a dare I say, like an Erdogan situation in Turkey. Like you can get, like, because Turkey is a very moderate country in reality. It's just the wrong, well, I don't say the wrong people, but certain people
are in power. The recently re-elected president.
Re-elected himself, basically, yeah.
Turkish embassy is listening. That's not
No,
stance.
I'm sorry.
They were democratically elected just by the skin of their teeth. But yes, no, it was...
But yeah, in general, most people are just sort of like, they ain't hurting nobody. They're not bothering me. I don't deal with them on your average Idle Tuesday. So what do I care? I mean, that's most